Welcome to The Art of Semi-Fiction. I'm Jane Daly.
And I'm Robin Miller.
And today we're going to be talking about where to enter a story.
Oh my gosh, one of my favorite topics because almost everybody gets it wrong.
Uh-oh. Don't look at my outline.
So where are you entering the speech or this talk?
So Jane? What I'm talking about today is in narrative nonfiction, there must be an inciting incident. There must be... if you're writing about an inciting incident, there must be one.
There's got to be one. So, what's an inciting incident?
Okay, so I want you to think about this phrase, everything changed when, and then you fill in the blank. So everything changed when I was diagnosed with cancer. Everything changed when my husband left me for his secretary. Some sort of whatever it is that you're going to be writing about, you have to have clear in your mind, is this going to be the type of nonfiction we discussed in our last episode about maybe it being more lighthearted? Yeah. Or in this case, we're talking about some incident that happened where you want to write about what you learned through that event.
Yeah.
So for instance, in Susie Flory and Michael Hingson's wonderful book, Thunderdog, you can read the back page and you know that it's about the attacks on 9/11. That's the inciting incident. So everything that is written is all about how this one particular inciting incident affected the man, Michael, who happens to be blind, with his guide dog making his way down one of the twin towers. We know that it was 9/11.
Yeah.
So he doesn't start the book with, and on 9/11 I was sitting in my office, but we know that that's the inciting incident. Instead, he talks about a little bit of background. How did he become blind? Was he blind from birth? How did he end up getting connected with a guide dog?
Yeah.
So we get some background, and then it jumps into, and I was sitting in my office. This is how I came to be sitting in my office on 9/11 with my dog under my feet.
So in this particular book, because some books don't, they hint at the drama of a story, but they don't give it away what the inciting incident is.
Mm-hmm.
This one, you knew. Mm-hmm. 9/11 is an inciting incident.
Right.
And everybody knows what 9/11 is, so that didn't need too much description. So in that case, they didn't need to jump into that, you know, the smell of burning things and whatever.
Right.
Because the inciting incident was already known before you opened page one.
Correct.
Got it.
Yeah. Just like in the two books that I've written. So if you read the back cover of Because of Grace, you know I lost my son.
Yeah.
So that was the inciting incident that I'm writing around. But I didn't start chapter one with, and this is the day my son died, or this is the day he got diagnosed with cancer.
Nor did you start with the inciting you're talking about the death of your son, so that obviously
we know that's the incident.
Yeah. But you didn't start saying, you know, he was born on a Tuesday at 4:12 in the morning, and go chronologically up to that point.
Exactly.
So even the backstory that you chose and that Susie chose in Thunderdog, it was still chosen as part of telling that story,
mm-hmm.
of information that was important to. What happened at that inciting incident?
How did we get from here to there to that? That what I like to call it an everything changed moment.
Yeah.
So yes, everything changed. It wasn't so much that everything changed when my son died. It was everything changed when he was diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah.
Because then we're talking about the journey. Where was everything changed. Did everything change on 9/11? No. Everything changed when Michael was blind. I think he lost his eyesight as a young boy. So that was his everything changed moment. But we don't want to start with And, you know, I was born, as you said, I was born on this date and this is what happened. And then I was in 9/11.
Yeah.
You know?
Most of the time, even in fiction, I mean, we're talking about narrative, nonfiction, but it's the same thing with fiction too. Mm-hmm. You start, you're still telling a story, even if it's I'm struggling with that word for some reason. Fictional, you are still telling a story. Usually it's for a time period. Mm-hmm. So you still have to choose that inciting incident. Why are you choosing to tell this story? Why now? What changed?
Mm-hmm.
What's happened? So it's not just narrative nonfiction or memoir or personal narrative. It's actually any story that you want to tell creatively, which means creative nonfiction or fiction. It all needs that exact same moment, doesn't it?
And you could say, and I read a book, I think it was by Susan Meisner. It was fictional, but it was everything changed on 9/11.
Yeah.
How her husband was in one of the towers and did not make it.
Mm.
I mean, it was fiction.
Yeah.
But that was the inciting incident, but it didn't start with on 9/11, this happened.
Yeah.
So Susie May Warren does a really good job when she talks about how to outline your fiction, your novels, is that inciting incident has to be your central theme. That's what you're going to be looking at. And then, but you start with normal life. So in Thunder Dog, she starts with normal life was, this is how I started my morning. And, you know, this is my dog and how, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
But it jumps back and forth. So we move forward to the 9/11. And then just when we're exhausted, we go back and talk a little bit about, for instance, when I was reading a couple of episodes ago, talking about the interaction between his father and the superintendent of the school, who said, you can't have your dog on the bus.
Yeah.
So we get a really good glimpse of this man who's blind. He's in one of the towers and he's trying to make his way down. So we don't necessarily want to enter the story with on 9/11, but you have to keep that in mind. And I think of it like a wheel with spokes. So you've got your outer wheel and your inciting incident is your center. It's like your bullseye.
Yeah.
All the spokes that connect your inner to your outer circle are going to be the points that support that story.
I think what you just said is really important because there are people who the beginning, the inciting incident is actually the point of entry into the story too. So Susie could have with Thunder Dog said, you know, smoke's all around. I heard the impact. I mean, been right into that scene. But what you said was really important. We choose where we enter the scene, how we enter the scene, when we enter the scene, around surrounding that the spokes around the inciting incident, in order to help our reader be able to breathe too. Mm-hmm. We can't just do in such intensity without bringing it back to some backstory or bringing. I call it a. Because I'm a little bit of a foodie, or family is a little bit of foodie. We call it a palate cleanser.
Mm.
You know, if you're in the height of emotion or trauma or whatever, you just can't stay there. You need a moment to just breathe. So it's a palate cleanser. It's to recalibrate, to give you a moment to just... And sometimes with a really, really emotional story, starting in the middle of a really, really emotional moment isn't the right choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's to be a little bit off to the side of that inciting incident.
Just giving some hints.
Yeah.
Well, and it also helps us get a really good glimpse into. So, for instance, if you're writing a story of, you were in a horrific car accident,
for example, which I was. So.
And you wanted to write about it, but you want to write in a way that shows that you survived and how did you survive?
Yeah.
Giving a little bit of backstory of who you are as a person. Gives us a great idea of how you were able to survive that horrific accident.
That is a fabulous point. One of the things that in the memoir that I've just written, I enter the story in action, and it's when my my adoptive father, who was my abuser, I had a step-parent adoption, and he died. I was getting the phone call. That's the first scene. Mm. Is So that's what is launching us into the story. That's why the story is told from that point to the end. But the next one, I'm with my husband, and you know I'm safe. You know I'm loved. You know I've got kids. You know I'm protected. You know, and that was important to me. If I'm going to take you to some of the places that I, you know, touched on,
right?
I needed you to know. I needed, before you knew what was going to happen, that you knew I was okay.
Mm-hmm.
That, and it was, and it wasn't. Let me just do a disclaimer here at the beginning of the story. Everything is fine, but I wove it into the narrative so that you would go, she's married, she's fine, he's a great guy, one of the lines I have tells that he's never laid a hand on me, never lifted it against me, wrote love, you know, I gave, yeah. in the narrative, I gave that so that you would be like, okay, she wasn't a statistic, end up in mm-hmm. an abusive relationship, that kind of, when you're talking about some of the harder topics or some of the scarier topics, I mean, just the fact that we know that the book is written about him, if we know that he made it out, then we can handle, because there's the horror of everything else. That's a story that it wasn't just his experience. We know how many lives were lost.
Mm-hmm.
We know about the terror that made it happen.
And that seeing people experience,
yes.
going down those stairwells.
Yes.
Magnifying it by,
yeah.
holy moly, the guy is blind and he's got a dog.
So the fact that we already have the inciting incident is already, I mean, most people can remember where they were, 9/11, mm-hmm. right? So we already have an emotional reaction to just saying 9/11, right? So to know that he's okay, instead of it just being a story where he made it down and then, you know, he and his dog died at the bottom of the stairs,
right,
or something.
Right, because of inhaling.
Yeah, I mean, how horrible.
Whatever,
that,
yeah.
So that's important when you're writing the truth, to not keep, it doesn't all have to be the big surprise ending.
Right.
You know, we don't need to know whether or not he survived by only reading through the whole thing. You don't need to know. If I'm going to tell you about what happened in my childhood that wasn't great, I need you to know I'm in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's important to lay that foundation of, okay, now I can breathe and let myself go with the story. And I think that's what Susie did a great job.
That was really well couched.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When I started writing my book about my journey through Bobby's death, I started back when he was 17. The first time when we got the call that he was in remission, because I wanted to start with, okay, here we've had 10 years of no cancer. And then the inciting incident is, Mom, I need to tell you something.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you just, when you're writing your narrative nonfiction / memoir, just be really aware of where you are starting and make sure that you're very intentional about where you're going to start.
Yeah.
Do you need to start with the inciting incident, or do you need to have that, this is normal life, and bam, then this happened.
Exactly. And I think it is important, especially if you are a faith-based writer, to really, I mean, there's a lot of very gratuitous stuff out there that is just going for the big shock value, mm-hmm. and the big, they don't really care whether or not you're emotionally bereft at the end of it, or you have an image that cannot be unseen or whatever. We have to really think about that as Christian writers. Mm-hmm. How can we convey the truth of something and the import of something without, you know, devastating our readers? Because that's not bringing too much light to the world. So,
right.
So I think that's an important kind of, when you're talking about that inciting incident, knowing what it is, being able to define it, it's surprising the number of people that I talk to or I teach where I say, you know, why did you start the story there? Whether it's a narrative nonfiction, mm-hmm. or fiction, why there? And they just kind of, I don't know. It's kind of important to know that.
Well, it's as important to know as what is the universal truth that you're wanting to convey.
Yeah.
And how does your inciting incident, you know, how is your hope,
yeah.
going to flow from that?
So, yeah.
Yeah. I think that we need to know what we're writing about.
And another kind of on that spokes, not only knowing that inciting incident, we hear this all the time. What are the stakes? So we know in Thunderdog, the stakes are, will this man make it down, and how?
How?
How does he make it down when he's blind, when we know many didn't. Mm-hmm. So those are the stakes. I mean, those are, in that case, that's life and death stuff, right? So that's the stakes are very obvious there. But in other stories, what are the stakes? What has this inciting incident brought some sort of peril to our lives? And I don't mean peril meaning like we're laying across the railroad tracks tied up, you know, waiting for somebody to come rescue us. I mean,
right.
What has suddenly been brought to the surface that has changed that we now need to process, overcome, navigate through, whatever it is. That's where you enter that surrounding the inciting incident and figuring out what those stakes are. If you don't know that, you're not quite ready to write yet, mm-hmm. I think you need to figure out your story a little bit better, personally.
There's several years ago, there was a book, and then they made a movie out of it, Still Alice.
Mm.
And there, I can't remember if it was like based on truth, but the stakes were you have a professor, a university professor, who gets early onset dementia in her 50s. And it gives you some backstory about her life, and it's very much told in a fictional way. And then one day she's out running and she can't find her way back home, which is just the tip of the iceberg. Mm. So the inciting incident, although very tiny, it blossoms into this whole story of loss after loss after loss.
Yeah.
It does have a good ending. But of course, you know, it's not that she's cured from dementia, but the ending is very sweet, but it will bring you to tears. I recommend reading the book, not watching the movie, because the movie Hollywoodized it, and the book was fabulous.
That's one thing my 12-year-old just said. We got him an Echo, what is it, an Echo Dot or something, and he listens to books as he's going to sleep. He listens, he's a voracious reader. And one of the things he said is, he's listening to Star Wars something or other, and I think it was Rogue One. Mm. He just watched the movie again, and he said, "I love the book so much more." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, there's like 12 or 13 hours of listening in the book versus the 1.5, 2 hours right. or whatever it is in the movie." And he said, "And there's just so much more information and details. And scope for me to," he said, "scope for me to bring my imagination to it." And I'm like, "Oh, that's my son. I'm so proud." But that's what books do, too. Well, yeah. I mean, so much more depth.
You know, what's funny is that how this book so emotionally impacted me that it's been easily 8 years since I read it.
Wow.
And I still remember details where she spoke into her phone and she said, "If I ever get to the point where I can't remember where my pills are, they're in the drawer and you're going to take like 5 sleeping pills." I mean, she's trying to plan her own suicide.
Wow. But instruct yourself.
She's instructing herself. But then she forgets and puts her phone in the freezer because she had dementia. She did things like that. And all of that was lost.
Hmm.
It was just like, how heartbreaking. Here's this woman. She wants to try to kill herself and she can't because she can't remember how.
Oh.
But it's those kind of details that I think if we can work those details and that emotion into our nonfiction, it's going to just really pop.
Yeah. And I think that whether it's fiction or nonfiction, we really do have to figure out. Not only we need to know the inciting incident, we need to know the spokes and the around it and the stakes, but we need to enter our reader in pretty quickly to what's going on. Otherwise, we'll lose them.
Yeah.
You know, I've one of my favorite unpublished as of yet writers that I know and work with. She I read some of her writing and the inciting incident was amazing. And her action, writing into the action. But then she realized the import of some of the decisions would be kind of lost if there wasn't some backstory. Mm-hmm. So her answer to that she's not a new writer, but she's not published yet. So she's still at the beginning journey of writing. So she wrote several chapters of backstory. And I had to tell her, but you still, this is still the point that you had was the right entry point.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go through 50,000 chapters of information of backstory so that when you get to that point, then everybody knows.
We're primed.
Yeah,
we're
primed exactly.
And ready for that
exactly.
inciting incident.
It is still those two things are the point of entry into your story. But then you can take moments of backstory and weave that in. So all of that information can be trickled in throughout, but you cannot lose that, what you're saying, that inciting incident. And the stakes have got to be where you enter
that
story.
It's the why. So yeah. Why is that inciting incident so devastating? Was it because your husband died and you'd only been married for 2 years? Was it that you were diagnosed with a terminal illness and you didn't get to take the trip you wanted to take? Or you don't, you know, what are the whys? What are those stakes that's going to make that so powerful when you tell a story?
Yep. And that, again, it goes across nonfiction and fiction. Mm-hmm. So if you're writing memoir, you're telling one section of your life. There's a reason you start somewhere and the reason you end somewhere. What is that? You've got to know that. But in a fiction story, I finished reading Cynthia Rupti, who is actually my literary agent and a phenomenal writer and teacher and mentor and friend. I love her. Her newest book is called Miles from Where We Started. And I love the title because it already says we're going on a journey, right? We're going somewhere. And I'm going to see, I don't know if you can see, if you haven't looked at this book, look at the beautiful cover. It's inviting. There's a table set. There's a lovely soup. It's outdoors. You're already invited in the cover. You're already going, we know we're going on a journey. And she, her opening chapter, this is fiction, right? It's fiction. Okay. She opens with a line and it's dialogue. You can't bail on me, Nathan. So we're already thrown right into something. There's a problem. You can't bail on
Someone's
me.
Someone's going to bail.
Right. And it goes through, there's stakes in that first chapter where we know there's a marriage in trouble, there's a business in trouble. So right now, we've got the stakes. The inciting incident is an account going pear-shaped. That's another British term. Pear-shaped. Wrong.
Wonky?
Right when the marriage is in trouble as well. So at the end of that first chapter, we know we're going on a journey. We know that we've got two big stakes. We've got both the marriage and we've got the job. And that's fiction. She knew exactly where she's going in this thing. She knew exactly where her starting point was, exactly where her journey was going to end. And so we tracked with her. We didn't have to, we didn't start at the beginning of this marriage. We didn't start at the beginning of the business. We started where the problem was, where the inciting incident was. So that's just another example of exactly what you're saying for nonfiction. You got to pick your entry point.
Yep. Wow. We have covered
a lot
of territory in this podcast. You've been listening to The Art of Semi-Fiction, where we explore every corner of the written word. I'm Jane Daly.
And I'm Robin Miller.
And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. And thank you for listening.